What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome to the Mystery Frequency, where the stories of the past are waiting to be heard once again. Today's episode, we have the start of Coleman and Astor. If you enjoy this episode, please check out the archives for more detectives and mysteries, and also take a look at the descriptions for ways to reach out. And please consider following, reviewing, and rating. The higher the rating, the more easier it is for people to find this podcast and enjoy these great stories. Now, with all that, please enjoy the show.
Death Beach by Michael McStay, with Peter Vaughan, Mary Miller, David King, Stephen Thorne, and Joe Dunlop.
Got it! Print it!
That was beautiful, Sam. A great death scene, a Sam Farrow special. That's the wrap, Hal. Oh, when I intercut that with Bob, the audience is going to weep for you.
Sounds great, Fred.
Of course it does. This is a Kurt Zarak picture.
But you'll be favoring Bob, naturally.
Sam, don't give me a hard time. Bob Mathias is the star. Oh, Bob, that was great. Thank you, Jack. I was just saying,
Sam. You look terrific.
Hey, take it easy, fellas. He's going to lean on me for a pay ride.
Next time, Kurt.
Sure. Bob, I'm going to need some close shots.
Okay. That last one was fine, Governor, for Matt. Very nearly enthusiastic.
You're a miserable son of a Swedish bitch, man. Do you know how many times Matt and me have worked together? I never saw him happy.
Right.
Hal, tomorrow we go to the beach for the landing sequence.
You wrapping this location completely?
Right. Now, listen to me. Tonight, you all have dinner with me, okay?
Oh, great.
You too, Hal. Bring Maggie, okay?
Thank you, Governor.
Yeah, tonight we'll all get a little drunk. Wash some of the goddamn dust out of our throats.
Right, gentlemen. That is a complete wrap on this location. Tomorrow's dinner with the beach for the landing sequences.
Wrap the old bloody film, as far as I'm concerned.
Something to say, Peter?
Oh, the whole bloody setup stinks. Living in those porter cabin things, no fresh water, flies in the cars.
You want to try some of them cigars, Matt smokes.
Yeah. The trick I picked up on Kurt's African movies makes me feel a mite groggy, but it knocks the hell out of the mosquitoes.
Okay, Matt, we all know about how many times you and Zorak have worked together.
Sometimes it gets a little rough, but then Kurt always likes to work
with you. You think you're so tough. I'll knock your head off, you cocky bastard.
All right, Peter, that's enough. So the conditions on this godforsaken lump of Scottish rock are lousy, but the money's good. If anybody doesn't like it, they can quit now. There's a lot of people want the work.
You think this is rough? You should try staying home with my missus.
All right, listen, fellas. I'll be in the beer tent in about an hour. If there's anybody there I know, I'll buy him a drink.
Hey, did you hear about the little blonde who's been 6 weeks on a Kurt Zorak movie? She goes to the producer and she says, "Listen, who do I have to sleep with to get off this picture?" I would have done, Fran. There isn't a man on this unit who wouldn't have done if he'd had half a chance.
Then what stopped you, Kurt, darling?
Too damn busy making a Kurt Zarak movie.
Too damn busy being Kurt Zarak.
Oh, you think that's easy?
Take it easy, Sam.
Believe me, Bob, I know. You have to work at staying on top in this business.
Oh, so how come you're playing the bit parts now if you know so damn much?
Hey, relax, both of you. Now, don't any of you be fooled by having your name in lights in this business. It's the director, me, who can make or destroy you.
And the cameraman?
Right, Fran. You know Matt's in love with Fran.
Oh, well,
oh, yeah. You have a cameraman in love with you, and you're holding most of the aces. And Matt is in love with you, all right.
Oh, I know. Wouldn't every man at this table like to crawl into the hay with Miss Parker?
Well, I wouldn't, Fran, but then, you know...
Oh, we all know about you, Jimmy.
Look, I'm sure we're embarrassing Maggie with all this silly talk.
Oh, no.
There isn't one of them man enough to match his words with the deed.
Oh, thank you, Francis.
Sorry, Hal. I guess with you, I wasn't woman enough.
Well, it's nothing I'd care to discuss over dinner.
Right again, Hal. Always the nice guy.
Too damn nice, which is why you're still a first assistant when a pig like me's been on top of the heap for years.
I'm gonna stay there.
Too damn right. Now listen to me. There's a reason why you're here. Death Beach is gonna be a great movie as big as any I ever made. Yeah. Bob, after this, you'll be able to name your own salary. That's if I don't cut you to ribbons in the editing. Sam, what can I say? We've done too many movies together that you know me better than I know my own self. But on this one, believe me, you've even surprised me. If you never make another picture, this one could be your epitaph. Jimmy, Jack, just beautiful.
Does he mean me or my performance?
I mean your performance, goddammit, Jimmy. What the hell a limey queen is doing on my picture, I do not know, except you're all man up on that screen.
Maybe Matt's in love with me, too.
Yeah, Matt is a genius, and I have a great crew. Yeah. Hell, you Brits are the best in the world if you'd stop complaining the whole goddamn time. Hal, you're my right arm, the best first in the business. Am I right, Maggie?
I think so, Mr. Zorak.
As for you, Fran, gentlemen, this middle-aged, sexy broad knew me when... Oh, the hell with it. Thanks for everything, Fran. Which brings me to the point of all this. Tomorrow, Francis goes back to London for a bath.
Oh, God, a bath.
Yes, okay, Jack. At least we all smell the same on this movie.
But ladies are meant to smell different, Mr. Zorak.
Hey, you better watch Maggie, Hal. She's a sense of humor.
To marry me, she'll need a sense of humor.
To work with Kurt, we all need a sense of humor. humor.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's going to be a great movie, and I have a little something here for each one of you to remind you. Hal, would you... and to say thank you. I think you'll find them very appropriate to Death Beach.
What is it?
What is it? What the hell do you think it is?
You mean it's a real gun that fires?
That goes bang, Sam, baby.
Oh, my goodness. Is that?
Gold-plated.
Hell, gold-plated derringer.
I thought it was a cigarette lighter, you know. Just one.
Cigarette lighter? Can you imagine? That would be one hell of a way to stop smoking.
Maggie, you understand that didn't get you one?
Oh, of course, Mr. Zorak.
But I'm very grateful, the best continuity girl I ever had. And if you ever feel the need to use one, you can borrow hell.
There are bullets.
Oh.
There is one bullet each, just for laughs. When you get back home, why don't you have it engraved with the name of the person you'd most like to use it on?
What a good idea. I might need half a dozen.
Kurt, it's been a pleasant evening. Thank you. But I really must ask you all to excuse me. The helicopter leaves early in the morning, and I really do want to get away from this place.
Fran, honey, good night, and a thousand thanks.
Good night. Good night, everyone. Good night.
That is one hell of a woman. Now, gentlemen, we all have an early start in the morning, so I'll drink to the next time we meet.
On your next picture, maybe.
Uh-huh. Wherever, Sam. On my next movie or in hell.
Governor, I have a few things to do. Would you excuse me if I...
Hang on a minute, would you, Hal? A couple of things I'd like to ask.
Okay.
Do you mind if I get some sleep?
Yeah, good night, Maggie. Thanks for coming.
I enjoy myself. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
I guess we all ought to be thinking of turning in.
Jack, Jimmy, I meant what I said about your work for me. You're both on my next movie, if you want.
Kurt, that's great.
If I'm available.
For me, you're available.
Good night, Kurt. Thanks. Wonderful evening.
Yeah, Jimmy. Jimmy, why don't you ease off on this faggot bit? You really are a fine actor. A thing like that could stop you hitting the top. In our business, the image is everything.
So is how you live, Kurt. I came to terms with all that a long time ago.
You're either a complete fool or a man of very real principle.
Who can tell the difference?
Okay.
Good night, Kurt.
Good night. I'll see you in the morning. Huh? I wanted a quiet word, Hal.
I'm telling you, Farrell.
Well, you can't look after her in the way she wants.
Why don't you just... You do, and I'll kill you.
Oh, easy, fellas. What in hell is going on?
I tried being pleasant to this foul-mouthed has-been.
Hey, where do you get all that has-been, you lousy, jumped-up bit player?
Okay, boys. Now, come on, take it easy, will you?
Just keep out of my way, Farrell.
I'll do a check to you.
Shut up, Stan. Good night, Bob. Now, sit down, Sam. Have another drink. Cool down, huh?
Yeah, these damn kids. They get a break. Suddenly, they're God almighty. They start to believe their own press, Hal.
You said it. He's a kid. He'll learn.
Yeah, he'll learn. Governor.
Okay, Hal. Now, just take it easy, Sam.
You're telling me?
Hey, what happens after this?
Huh?
Work. Do you have any plans?
Well, my agent has a couple of scripts in. Anyway, there's always your next one, Kurt.
Don't bank on that, Sam.
Oh, but I do. You'll know that, Kurt.
We'll see how things break.
Yeah, it'll work out. There's always something for Sam Farrow in a Kurt Zorak movie, eh?
Oh, look, Sam, it's getting late. I have to have a word with Hal. You mind?
Sure. Good night. Thanks for a great evening. Good night, Henry.
Mr. Farrow, don't you English ever relax?
Not when the natives are getting restless, Governor. let's face it, you and me have done pretty well so far for two blokes that don't speak the same language.
Yeah, I reckon you're right. How are things on the unit, Hal?
It is a lousy location. You have to get it out of the systems every now and then.
No worse than that?
Nobody's going to kill anybody, if that's what you mean. Can you handle the cast?
It's time we all went home. They're children, Hal. And like children, they can play some pretty spiteful games.
Yeah. Something I'd like to know, Governor. Did you know about me and Francis before you booked me for this film?
Sure, I knew about it. I also knew you were the best first assistant in Europe.
It hasn't made things any easier with Farrow and Maggie. Well, you know how it is.
So, like you said, nobody's killed anybody, have they? How? I'm going to wrap a lot earlier than I expected. Everybody's done great. The weather's held. I should be finished here in a week or less.
I reckon there wasn't all that much left. That'll make the crew happy.
Oh, good. I like to run a happy ship, Mr. Christian. Hey, Matt. What the hell are you doing out of bed at this time of night?
Couldn't sleep. Jungle noises. It's
Seems like I'm not the only one either. A lot of movement out there in the undergrowth.
Yeah, well, we were just finishing a very good meal. Sorry you wouldn't join us. Care for a nightcap now?
No, thanks. I'll get back to my shack. Was Pat Bainey at night?
What, Pat makeup? Oh, hell no. I didn't think maybe I should have asked her. Well, why do you ask?
Well, I just saw her out there. She looked pretty upset.
What about?
She didn't say. I didn't push it. She was looking for Bob.
Uh-huh. Matt, the landing sequences and those pickup shots, do you want to talk about it?
You're the boss, man.
Hal, everything clear for the morning?
I got it, Governor.
Okay, get some sleep. Good night.
Night. Night, Hal.
You don't have any problems?
Oh, I can do all the coke shots on faces anywhere, just so long as I can match some sky or a piece of rock.
That's the way I had it figured, Matt. Maybe I'm getting old, but this island's even getting through to me.
Come on, Fran, for old time's sake, honey, huh?
Oh, you're filthy. Drunk and filthy. Get out now, or I'll call somebody.
Oh, who are you going to call, baby, eh? Henry? Hero Henry? Has he been sleeping with you? Oh, maybe he wouldn't like that.
Oh, I'm warning you, Sam.
Now, somebody sure as hell is delaying you. You never went 6 weeks without somebody taking the itch out of those hot little pants of yours. Who this time? Matthias, the new star in the firmament, huh? King Kurt, maybe, eh? Oh, no, no, not him.
Now, will you get out?
You've been in too many bad movies, honey. That thing has to be loaded to be effective.
It is loaded, and I'll use it if you don't get out of here.
Oh, I get it, I get it. You want the whole rape scene, eh? Is that what you need to turn you on?
Get out. Oh, please, get out and leave me alone.
Ah, you stupid damn woman. Your body isn't worth the action. Give me that thing. You couldn't pull that trigger if your life was at stake.
Tomorrow, sir? Henry Field.
Bob? Lovely.
I'm sorry, Pat.
Do you want me to go? Bob? Where are you going?
Warner,
Pat. Oh, Bob, please don't do anything silly. He's just a sick old man. Come back to bed.
I told him I would kill him.
Oh, God. Face the facts, Maggie Jones. You've been stood up.
Beautiful. So much beauty. So much ugliness down here. Whatever happened to little Jimmy Church from Stretton? He wanted to be a star, too. Hello? Hello down there! Him and his damn cigars.
Who's there?
Paul?
Who's that? You bastard! Yeah, who was it? Ooh. What the hell's going on?
Francis. Hey, Fran.
Mm-hmm.
You slept.
Oh, Henry.
I have to go.
Oh, Sam.
You don't have to worry about him anymore. Listen to me, Francis. It's past six. The chopper's due any minute, and I have to get this show on the road.
Henry.
No,
there's
nothing to say. I never stopped loving you.
Al, I've never seen you looking so rough.
Don't worry about it, Governor. I'll pull myself together before I face the troops.
Oh, Kurt, I need you.
What?
No, not here. Just come with me. You too, Al. We have a problem.
Okay. Dear God.
That's a hell of a messy way to do it.
Well, we do, Kurt.
What?
We have to do something.
Al?
There's nothing we can...
Look, I'll call Rosenthal back in London. He can do what has to be done from his end, and then we go ahead with it as Judas planned. We'll have to move his body.
Police, Governor?
What police? What's it have to do with them?
You don't just go moving dead bodies around. Not in this country. Not in your country.
Al, baby, I do not need police crawling all over the location, costing me valuable time.
Come on, Kurt. You know better than that.
Matt, the guy decides to blow his head off. That's all there is to it. Oh, God, Matt. I've known him all my life. Okay. Al, get hold of the police, then. As soon as you've done that, get the cast and crew together, and I'll tell them what's happened. In the meantime, we go ahead with the setup for the landing. We don't waste a minute more than we have to. Got it?
Yeah, got it, Governor. And, Governor...
Yeah, I know. Forget it, Hal. There's nothing to say. Oh, stay around, will you, Matt?
Sure.
May need a little help.
Hey, gentlemen. My name's Field. I'm the First Assistant Director.
Good day to you. Inspector Coleman, and this is Sergeant Astor.
How do you do? Sorry to drag you out of this godforsaken place.
Not at all. I've been longing for an excuse to get here. Pity I had to come on such sad business.
Mr. Zorak, the director, won't be long, sir. He'll have heard your chopper.
Well, we'll get the unpleasant part over while we're waiting. May we see the body, Mr. Field?
Yes, of course. It's down on the beach. It's a bit of a scramble down.
Who found the body?
Matt Mackelson, our lighting cameraman.
Well, the press never mentioned him.
Heard of him?
Well, of course, the famous Swede. Two Oscars, hasn't he?
Three. Two of Monzorek pictures.
Oh, you hear that, Sergeant? You're walking with God's mouth.
Yes, sir. I remember to wash my steps.
And who else is on the film, on the acting side? I know about Francis Parker and Robert Mathias, naturally. And didn't I read that James Church was on it?
That's right, sir, yes. And there's Jack Tarrant.
Oh, now there you have me. Jack Tarrant?
Another American... First film, one of those discoveries from television.
Oh.
Doing a great job on this film. Nice bloke, too.
Anybody else?
Oh, we had to Jeremy Walters down for a couple of days, doing a little cameo, you know, the sort of thing. Pick up a swift couple of thou, steal all the notices and nip back to prop up the National.
Very impressive. Anybody else?
Oh, not really. Nobody you've heard of.
Except for Sam Farrow.
That's them.
Yep.
Only two?
They do things differently over here, Kurt.
They look very small from up here.
I'll be finished in an hour or two.
Finished.
I know what you're thinking, Kurt.
I'm thinking nothing, Matt. I'm thinking Sam's dead. It's over.
Not very good terrain, unfortunately. Thank God he's above tide level.
You'll be saying some struggle, sir. Stones picked over here and there. As you see, difficult.
You're looking for tracks.
That's it. Just a thought.
I'm sorry, Inspector, but we've all been down here this morning.
Who?
Self, the Governor and Matt.
Oh. And what time was it that you all came charging down here?
Couldn't say, really. About 6:30, I suppose. Matt came and found us having our breakfast.
And what do you suppose Mr. Matchelson was doing down here at that ungodly hour in the morning?
We work pretty ungodly hours.
Yeah, of course you do. Policemen and filmmakers. Well, Sergeant, what else?
He didn't fall down that lot, sir. Happened here.
Yes, yeah, not much doubt about that.
Why do you say that?
Well, it's up your street, really, Mr. Field. Question of continuity. You don't blow your brains out up there and then bring them with you all the way down here.
I see.
And as you can see, sir, his brains are quite definitely down here.
Steady on, Sergeant.
Nice gun. Pretty.
Yes. Now, I wonder where he'd get a thing like that.
We all have one, Inspector. Well, they all had one, that is, the stars. I didn't, not the crew. They were a present from the Governor.
Fascinating. A present? That's a very unusual thing to give, isn't it?
Kurt Zorak is a very unusual man.
Obviously. I can't wait to meet him.
Yes, of course, sir. He should be on the location by now, if you'll excuse me.
Yeah, we'll join you in a moment or two. I think we'll let forensic waste their time down here, Fred.
Yeah.
Let's meet the great Kurt Zorak. I really am excited, you know.
I can hardly wear myself, sir.
Yes. Question, Fred. How do you suppose Mr. Farrow would have killed himself if he hadn't been given a gun so opportunely?
To hell with him, man.
Court.
Are the horses ready?
Sure. Now, look, Court. Governor, I've got the... Could you give us a moment, Governor?
Easy, boy, easy. That's easy.
These are gentlemen from the police, Governor.
My name's Coleman, Inspector. This is Sergeant Aston.
You ride?
I do, but...
Take that one. She's a fine mare.
Well, Mr. Thorek, I'll be in our hell.
Right you are, Gov.
Mr. Thorek!
Hey, come on!
I could throw myself under the horse's hoofs, Gov. Damn that blaster, man.
He went that way, sir.
Give me a hand.
Come on, get up!
Excuse me. I wonder if you could tell me where the tea trolley is.
Whoa, boy.
Whoa, easy now. Boy, now. Steady wood. Needs an expert to take that last jump. You're a damn fine horseman, Mr.
Coleman, Inspector.
Do you have a first name? I can't call you Coleman all the time.
Mr. Zarek, my mother was a very keen film fan. A passion that she passed on to me. She was watching The Prisoner of Zenda at the local flea pit when she went into labor. And as a result, I was christened Ronald. There is, in fact, an E in my name, which there wasn't in his. Nevertheless, the damage has been done. I suggest we settle for Inspector.
That really is a cute story.
Not a word I would have chosen.
All right, Inspector. I figure these animals are ready to go again. What'd you say?
Mr. Zarek, one of your actors is dead.
Yeah.
You must have known Sam Farrow for a long time. He's been in a great number of your films.
Yeah, most of them.
Did he have a big role in this present film?
He had a nice bit.
Did? He wasn't playing a leading role?
No, he doesn't play the leading parts anymore.
It must be... It's very hard for somebody to adjust to less important parts once they've been a star.
I wouldn't know about that, but it seems a pretty bum reason for blowing your head off.
Yeah, I would have thought so myself. What happened to his career?
Inspector, I've known Sam for the past 30 years. Whatever else he was always a good actor and a good friend. If you're looking for dirt on Sam, there are plenty of people around to give you that in spades, but I won't.
The gun that was used.
I gave it to him.
An unusual sort of present.
Well, the movie's called Death Beach. Your gun seemed appropriate. I gave one to all my leading actors.
And my sergeant would know better than I, but I'm quite sure that somebody somewhere has broken a few of our rules and regulations regarding the possession of firearms.
I bought them in the States.
Or regarding the importing of firearms through customs.
So sue me.
Good publicity.
The best. My producer would pay you to sue me.
Then perhaps I'll see what can be done.
Please.
Now, I will have to talk to the whole cast. So that you don't lose more time than is necessary, perhaps I could do that while the crew are busy getting ready.
Well, you can use the commissary tent. I'll get Hal to pass the message along. Come on, get up!
Come on, get up! Is everybody here now?
Yes, that's about it.
Yeah. Where's Miss Parker?
She's gone back to London.
Has she? On whose instructions?
She just went. She finished yesterday. The chopper came for her this morning.
It didn't enter anybody's head that the situation had altered a little.
Well, we didn't know Mr. Farrow was dead.
Look, it had nothing to do with her.
Well, I seem to remember that she was once married to Mr. Farrow.
If you'll excuse me, Governor.
Are you all set, Sergeant?
Son?
gentlemen. Oh, and lady. I expect you all know who I am by now. My name's Coleman. I'm a police inspector, and this is Sergeant Astor.
Hello, Flower.
I do understand that shock can make us react in strange, sometimes childish ways, but if you could just bear with me...
Yeah, let's everybody settle down.
Now, I gather you were all guests at Mr. Zorak's dinner party last night.
That's right.
Good. You see, I'd like to find out who was the last person to see Mr. Farrow alive. It seems likely that it was one of you, or indeed, all of you.
Not necessarily. Matt was out and about last night, and the makeup girl.
Pat was with me. That's Pat Husa. Bain, Patricia Bain, she was with me.
But not at the dinner party?
No.
Well, she might have just bumped into him before she met up with you, yeah?
No, she didn't.
Well, let me ask again, which of you was the last person to see Mr. Farrow alive? Nobody saw him. The return of the invisible man. Well, let me ask who left the table first. Or did you all leave at the same time?
I was the first to leave.
After Francis.
Oh, yes, that's right. Miss Parker left first, and then I left.
Yeah, I'm sorry, miss. I didn't recognize
it. Oh, Maggie Jones. I'm on continuity.
I see. I'm sorry. Then who left after you?
I think it must have been me and Jack.
Me first, wasn't it? You stayed back for a while.
Only because I didn't want to be seen leaving with you. You know how people talk. Yes, that's quite right, Inspector. I did stay behind for a moment.
Fine. And then what happened?
Me, I left.
So, we're down to three of you. Mr. Farrow and you two, Mr. Zorick and Mr. Field.
Yeah, we sat around for a while I tried to cool Sam off a bit.
Cool him off?
Well, there's been some kind of an upset, you know.
No, I'm afraid I don't know.
I'd had a row with Farrow. That's what Kurt's trying to tell you. Right, Kurt?
Bob, it isn't important.
You're damn right it isn't important. Some deadbeat actor decides he's had enough, goes off and blows his brains out. Well, I'm sure that's very sad, but how in hell does it concern any of us?
I'm very sorry, but perhaps I haven't made myself clear. You see, I don't believe that Mr. Farrow blew his brains out, as you put it. I believe that somebody else did it for him.
Did you see their faces?
Yes, pretty much as you'd expect. Tell me. Shock? Surprise, naturally?
Yes, shock.
Miss Jones?
Exactly. I thought she'd had the legs cored from her.
What?
Fear dumbfounded, sir.
Oh, very picturesque. What about Matthias?
Looked as if he'd been hit by a tram.
Yeah. Anything else about him?
Yes. These are only impressions, mind.
Oh, come on, Fred. You tell me your impressions, and I'll tell you my impressions. That's a fair swap.
Fair enough. It seemed to me that once the news had hit him, he looked a bit frightened.
Yes. Now, I wonder why.
He just admitted having a row with Farrow.
Hmm. What about Zorak?
Nothing.
Yes, if Zorak felt anything, he managed to hide it pretty quickly. Church and Tarrant?
Same as the others. They looked pretty horrified at the whole business.
Yeah, and they're all actors.
And none of them said a word. I suppose there's no chance he did kill himself.
Well, there's too much coincidence. You don't just decide to commit suicide because somebody gives you a gun.
On the other hand, you don't decide to commit murder just because somebody puts a gun in your hand.
I suppose... Suppose Zorak set the whole thing up.
Are you suggesting he went to all this trouble, buying half a dozen guns and declaring open season, just to get rid of one actor?
Bit elaborate, isn't it?
I still say it's murder.
Chance in your arm there, back in the tent.
Well, why not, Fred? I wanted to get them at it. I want the gossip and I want the scandal. I reckon they'll come running to me with both once I let them know I'm in the market for it.
In the meantime, I'd like to get my teeth into something a little more solid. Ask a few questions and talk.
Well, right you are. Get around the unit. Get me the gossip from that area. But you can relax with them, Fred. You're not looking for a murderer there. For my money, the man we want was around that dinner table.
A minor point, sir. The chief super.
What about him?
He's got a murder on his pants.
I'll keep him informed, of course. Eventually. Well, it's difficult. We're very isolated here. Oh, damn it, Fred. This is our chance of stardom. Mrs. Astor will be very pleased to see a bit of promotion coming your way.
Mrs. Astor wouldn't be very pleased to see me back on the beat.
Oh, come on, Fred. Think Hollywood. Think big.
All right, you are. Of all the police stations in all the world, you had to walk into mine. Oh, what's a pension anyway?
Good man, Fred.
I take you don't mind me using some of the facilities at our disposal. Because I've already got CRO working on that little bunch at the dinner party. And having a general scout around the whole crew just in case.
CRO? When did you find the time to contact them?
While you were off playing at being John Wayne, that director chap.
Highly efficient. Leave no stone unturned, Fred.
Well, some of these channels are open to us, so we might as well use them.
Right
now.
Come
here, Joe.
Now, okay.
Oh, damn. Cut it. Cut it. Cut. Bob, for God's sake, what is wrong with you?
Oh, Kurt, I'm sorry. Had a fall the other day. I seem to have done something to my hand. Can't get a grip on a damn gun.
Hey, that looks bad.
Forget it, Kurt.
I'm sorry I loused up your scene. I'm sorry, Jack.
Okay. I'll let you show it to the nurse. Don't take any chances. I can't afford to lose another actor with a septic hand.
It's okay, Kurt. It's just bruised.
Well, okay, if you're sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. And,
Don't bother to say anything about this. You know, these damn cops about the place asking their stupid little questions. You understand me?
No, I don't think I do, Bob. But if that's the way you want it, we gotta go again anyway.
Hal! I didn't notice your hand yesterday. You trying to say something, Jack? No? Fine. Maybe suddenly there's a lot of things we didn't notice yesterday that might seem important today.
Good morning, Mr. Zorak. May I have a word?
Yeah, sure. Give me a minute. Hal, I'm going to have to rethink this scene. Give the crew a break, will you? And kick the butts off those extras. They don't look as lifelike as some of the dummies lying around.
Will do, Governor.
Matt, can I have a word?
Yep.
Now, what can I do for you?
I'm going to have to start interviewing some of your actors.
I have a movie to
I appreciate that, but one of your actors has been murdered.
And I think you're crazy. Sam killed himself.
What can I do for you?
And I say it was murder. I'm sure I don't have to remind you that...
Okay. I have a problem on that scene, Matt. I'm going to have to rethink it. Talk with me.
Sure. What's the problem?
Henry Field will let you know when I can spare an actor. You can talk to him.
Thank you.
Look, it's the problem of shooting exactly what we have there, but in a new way. I don't want to lose any of the impact.
Nice of them. I don't seem to have cut much ice there.
Yeah.
Hang on, now what?
Look, Inspector, you have a job to do. I apologize for that little outburst just then. Of course I'll cooperate in any way I can, but I have problems of my own this morning.
With Mr. Mathias?
No, well, in a way, it's just that he can't do what I want because of... well, it's to do with camera angles.
Ah, very technical.
Matt, I think I know what we'll do. Now, tell me if this works for you.
Regular in the Berta Brit, isn't he? About Matthias. Yes.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh,
Have a seat.
No, I was looking for...
No, it's okay. Nobody's sitting there.
Well, I...
Well, help yourself. I reckon every other table's full.
Yeah.
Name's Peter Dobbs, chief electrician. I'm Fred Astor, policeman.
Oh, no.
That's why you're sitting by yourself.
Yeah, there's only one thing worse than a policeman. That's a policeman on duty.
Everybody's got a guilty conscience, and coppers keep reminding you of it.
Well, if you've got a guilty conscience, I'll have to wait till I finish my lunch. Hmm. Is that all you're having?
Yeah, food's not bad, but it gets a bit boring.
Hmm. I'll buy you another beer then.
Yeah, I'll have a can of light.
Oh, why the dinner's coming up?
Sergeant, excuse me.
Yes, miss?
My name is Patricia Bain. I'm in charge of the makeup.
Yes. Oh, excuse me a second. Could I have a couple of light deals, please?
A couple of light deals, yes.
Sorry, miss. Better grab your chance while you can, eh?
That's all right.
Now, what was it you wanted to say?
Well, this business about Sam. I wondered if I might be able to talk to the inspector in private.
Yes, of course. How about this afternoon sometime?
I ought to be on a location, but I could get away at tea break. Would that be...
Fine. I'll tell the boss to expect you. Oh, thanks. We're using Mr. Farrow's cabin, by the way.
Okay.
There we are, one can of light.
This is Jimmy James, Sergeant Astor.
Fred Astor, pleased to meet you.
Hello.
Jimmy's on sound. One of the reasons you can't hear what's happening in the movies these days.
I always thought it was me getting old. Can I get you a beer?
No, I'm fine, thanks. I only came over to find out if Pete was mixing it.
By what?
Well, about who killed Sam Farrow.
Okay, Jimmy, I know I cause a bit of aggro every now and then.
Yeah, I'm kidding. We've got nothing else to do except sit around and stir it. It's not been a happy film.
What's been the problem?
Well, we were warned it was going to be a tough location, but there's nowhere off it unless you've got your own private chopper.
Yeah, or you can swim.
So we sit around drinking and getting up each other's noses.
And the Yanks don't help. They're so bloody superior. Seen it all before and worse.
Should have been an all-English crew anyway. The Union let us down.
Altogether, a not too happy setup.
Yeah, that's about the size of it.
And where does Farrow fit into all this?
Oh, Farrow, he's a special case all to himself.
He was a pig of the first order. It was his attitude to everybody. There wasn't no one that he hadn't given a rollicking to at some time or other. He had the makeup girl in tears.
Yeah, he was drunk.
Yeah.
There was a night when he cleared this place out with his language.
I'm surprised he got away with it.
Yeah, there's no point in wasting daylight time punching out the lights of him.
Yeah. So you wait till the end of the film and then kill him.
Sergeant. Sam Farrow had a lousy name. It didn't work much, except for Zorak. He wasn't worth killing. He was already dead.
I never have understood why one shouldn't speak ill of the dead. I'm quite prepared to.
I'm beginning to realize that Farrow was not the most popular of men.
Inspector, are you quite sure he was murdered?
Yes.
Well, good for somebody. I hasten to assure you that it wasn't me. I would never have used a gun. I think I'd have slipped a phial of poison, Borgia-like, into his wine. He would have died a lingering death.
I don't see any man's death as a cause for humour, Mr. Judge.
And I'm not joking. I despised the man. No, I loathed him. I'm glad he's dead. Somebody has saved me the trouble of killing him.
Sergeant, I don't think you need make any record of this.
Sir?
I feel that Mr. Church is speaking rashly and emotionally.
You're quite right, of course. I have not the mettle within me to kill anybody. I fear I am more Macbeth than the lady. I could but wish him dead.
Why did you hate him so much?
Inspector, I am what is euphemistically known as gay. I have been happily married for some years to a charming and beautiful boy. Philip came here to spend a weekend. Naturally, he met Farrow, and naturally, Farrow had to amuse himself. It gave him some kind of pleasure to degrade people.
Mr. Church...
No, you asked me, you will hear me. Farrow made filthy insinuations about Philip to me. He made similar allusions to Philip. Well, there were hysterical scenes. There was a ridiculous, dramatic show of attempted wrist-slashing. It's all blown over. And Philip and I are still together, of course. But nothing will ever be quite the same. There are scars. There are areas to be avoided. You understand?
Oh, yes, I do. However, nobody has the right to take the law into their own hands.
Perhaps not. You will understand, though, that I'll do nothing to help you find the person who killed Farrow.
Perhaps that I should remind Mr. Church about his duties as a citizen. Also, that there are certain penalties for obstructing the police. Add to that the fact that I shall make your life bloody difficult for you if you don't help, and we've got some good arguments going for us.
Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Your Sergeant Flower is very persuasive.
That's another thing, sir.
All right, Sergeant. Let's behave like adults. Now, Mr. Church.
I left the dinner table just as Farrow and Bob were starting their row. I never saw Farrow again. I went to my cabin, but I wasn't able to sleep. Kurt had said one or two things to me, pleasant things that had set me thinking. I went for a long walk. I saw nobody and heard nothing. Does that... Oh.
Yes?
No, nothing.
Mr. Church, please. You did hear something, right?
I saw somebody. I saw Matt Matthewson.
Where was that?
On the beach. At just the spot where Farrow was killed.
What time would this be?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I wasn't concerned about time.
Thank you. Oh, don't worry, Mr. Church. It probably means nothing at all. And thank you for helping us.
May I go now?
One last thing. I wonder if you'd act out a little scene for me.
Is that the...
No, it's not the murder weapon. I've borrowed this one for my little play. You're going to commit suicide using this gun. I want you to show me how you do it.
I'm not the sort of person to take my own life.
Pretend, Mr. Church. I'm sure it's within your dramatic range.
Well, if I were going to shoot myself, I suppose I'd hold the gun about here, about an inch or so from the temple, and then... How did I do?
I preferred your performance in the defense rest.
I'll work on it. May I go now?
By all means, and thank you for your help.
Bye, Flower.
Bloody man. I'd gladly see him hanged.
Don't be too hard on him. I do believe he fancies you. Who was that at the door?
Patricia Bean. She'd asked to see you, remember?
Oh, yes, good. I like it when they come to me. Show her in.
Right. Miss Bean?
Hello, Miss Bain. Do come in. Have a seat.
Thank you.
Now, what was it you wanted to see me about?
It's about Bob Mathias.
Yes?
I know what you're thinking about him.
Do you?
Well, you are, aren't you? Everybody thinks he did this awful thing just because he had a row with Sam and threatened to kill him. But you see, it couldn't have been Bob.
Oh?
Well, on the night that Sam died, Bob spent the night with me.
I see. The whole night?
Yes. He never left me until it was time for his morning call. So, you see, it couldn't have been him.
Obviously not. I understand that you were out and about at the time of the dinner party. Did you see anybody else around?
No. Well, just Matt. I was on my way to meet Bob, and Matt was wandering around.
Did he say what he was doing?
No. Oh, you mustn't start to think it was Matt. I mean, he's such a lovely, cuddly person.
Well, that's somebody else I can cross off my list.
No, Inspector. I know it sounds silly of me, but, well, Matt is just not the kind of person.
Somebody is.
Well, yes, I suppose, but not Matt.
Incidentally, I understand that Mr. Mathias has hurt his hand.
Oh, yes. It's nothing really. I think he had a fall.
Ah. One last thing. What were your relations with Mr. Farrow?
Fine. I mean, he was nothing special one way or the other, just another actor to make up.
He never gave you any cause to dislike him?
No. Well, he may have made a pass in the makeup chair. Everybody does. I don't remember.
Well, thank you again for coming to see us. You've been most helpful. Sergeant?
Yeah? Miss Bean?
Well?
She was lying about not having any reason to dislike Farrow. She had her in tears at times.
I'm very anxious to protect her, Mr. Mathias.
Very. Perhaps she hopes to put the arm on him to do something about their relationship.
Oh, Sergeant, what a nasty, cynical mind you have. Perhaps we should see Mr. Mathias next.
I think you should see this first. Wee golden nugget from CRO. Henry Field has got GBH out against him.
Has he been damned?
Beat the hell out of his wife. Jealous rage or something. But he left him a bad mess. A friendly judge bound him over. His wife at that time was a lady called Frances Parker.
Ah, of course. I should have known that.
Time to have a chat with him?
Yes. But first, I think a visit to the mainland to see Miss Parker.
Nevertheless, Inspector, I take it that you are on duty.
Unhappily, I am. I could wish it were otherwise.
Yes. Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, poor Sam.
This is perhaps going to be painful for you.
You have a job to do. I was married to Sam, but it was all a long time ago. I shall mourn him as a friend, but that is all.
It's your relationship with him over these last weeks that interests me. You are aware that your ex-husband was well and truly loathed by almost the entire unit.
I try not to listen to gossip. Our relationship has been nothing less than cordial.
What about Henry Field?
Excuse me?
Well, you were married to Mr. Field as well. Were your relations with him just as cordial?
Oh, of course. And why shouldn't they be?
Because shortly before your divorce from him, he beat you up in some sort of jealous rage.
The press tends to exaggerate.
Not police reports nor hospital records. You were badly hurt.
And then you will also know that I withdrew all the charges. It was the police who pursued the matter.
So, to my question.
Our relationship. Have you talked to Henry?
I'm asking you.
We have remained the best of friends, and I have a great deal of respect for him. You know, Inspector, I really can't make out if you are conducting a police inquiry or writing a gossip column.
Can you tell me what happened after you left the dinner party? Did you see or hear anything?
I wish I could help you, but I was very tired that night. I had finished a long and arduous location. My only thought was to get to bed. I excused myself early, went directly to my cabin, took a pill, and that is all I can tell you. I've been no use to you, have I?
Two last things, Miss Parker. I shall have to ask for your fingerprints.
Oh? Is that complete?
Yes, I'm afraid it is. And secondly, I'd like you to act out a little scene for me.
Oh, what?
Don't worry. This is not the gun in question. Now, you're going to commit suicide for me using this gun. I'd like you to show me how you do it. You obviously know how to handle a gun.
Inspector, when you have played as many villainesses as I have, does it prove anything?
No.
Well, now what do you want me to do?
Just show me what you'd do if you were going to kill yourself using that gun.
Oh! Well, I suppose I would like this.
Thank you. Do you know, it's surprising how easy it is to miss holding the gun like that away from the temple.
Yes?
It's the kick of the gun. You'd be much more likely to maim yourself. You'd be a bit of a mess, no doubt, but still alive.
I'll bear it in mind.
Well, many thanks for your help, anyway. Not to mention the pleasure of your company. I'll send a man up to take your prints.
Oh, thank you. And perhaps we'll meet again under happier circumstances.
That's a pleasant thought. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Operator, I'd like to book a person-to-person call on a temporary number to a Mr. Henry Field.
Everybody at the dinner party.
Oh, I guess it has to be done.
I'm afraid it does, sir. We've seen Mr. Church and Miss Bain. I think we'll continue with the people who'd guns first. By the way, sir, do you have one?
I'm an American citizen, Sergeant. I have an arsenal back home.
I meant here, Mr. Zorak.
Well, as it happens, I did buy one for myself, yeah.
Can I have a look at it?
No, I'm afraid you can't.
Why is that?
I don't have it.
Then do you know what it is?
Well,
come on, sir. Either you know or you don't.
Your boss man borrowed it.
Very funny, that, sir.
Well, a little joke, Sergeant.
I should have realized. Boss man was playing with the damn thing all morning. Did anybody other than those at the dinner get a gun?
Well, I gave one to Matt that same day. He wasn't coming to the dinner.
Then just those at the table?
Yeah. No, not Maggie Jones.
Henry Field?
Yeah.
I see.
Mr. Field, why did you tell us you didn't have a gun? At that time, everybody thought Farrow had killed himself.
I was scared. I had some bother with the law a few years back. I was bound over.
Why was that, sir?
A grievous bodily harm. I was married to Frances at the time. I guess you're going to find out anyway.
We already have.
Well, why did
it
you...
It sounds a lot better if you tell us of your own accord.
But you are a right pair. Sorry, but... Anyway, now you know why I was frightened. I didn't know where I stood about owning a gun.
Well, now that we've got that out of the way, perhaps you could tell us something about the night Farrow died.
Well, I was the last to leave the table, and it's as though I had a couple of things to discuss with me. Matt had just arrived and said he'd seen Pat. Apparently she was pretty upset.
Any idea what about?
Yeah, Farrow.
Oh?
Oh, I don't know, but I could guess. He's been making her life a misery these past weeks.
Had he?
Oh, she was always in tears over him. Been running off to Bob Mathias. Surprised he never murdered him. No, I mean, in a manner of speaking. Well, everybody knows they had a row that night, but it's only words, isn't it?
What were your own relations with Farrow?
It's my job on any movie to keep everything smooth and lovely for the director to do his work, so I love everybody and they all love me. Except for Sam Farrow, I hated that bastard.
Along with everyone else.
But I had a special reason. He destroyed my marriage to Frances.
How so?
He never got over the breakup of his marriage to her. He never stopped sticking his smutty nose into ours. Finally, our marriage did bust up. It may not have all been him, but he certainly helped a lot.
And does Miss Parker feel the same as you?
What? I don't know. I think they stayed on good terms.
Huh. So, when you left the dinner table, what then?
Nothing. I spent the night with Maggie. We're getting married just as soon as this picture's over.
And you saw or heard nothing out of the ordinary?
Not a thing, I'm sorry.
And presumably Maggie, Miss Jones, would say the same.
Yeah, look, I know what you're suggesting.
I'm not suggesting anything. I shall have to talk to her, naturally, but only to clear the air a little, as it were.
If you want to clear the air, I should have a word with our director.
Well, I shall, of course. Why do you say that?
It's been worrying me. I want to know why I should talk to Farrow about his close-ups and in the next breath tell us to break the location.
Don't quite follow.
Well, you do all the work on one location at the same time. You can't afford to move backwards and forwards. Even though Mr. Zorick knew he had more work to do on that location, on Farrow, he told us to move on and set up on the next one. Almost as if he knew that Farrow wouldn't be available.
Huh. That's very interesting.
I
shall certainly ask him about that, thank you.
Struck me as being a bit funny.
Indeed. One last thing, Mr. Field. This is one of the guns that Mr. Zorick gave as present.
I'd put the barrel in the mouth and blown the head off. That way, no mistakes. Mr. Church has been talking.
Blast. Something amusing you, Sergeant?
No, sir.
Good. Well, in any case, you wouldn't choose the way that I'm asked to believe Farrow used.
No. Farrow knew guns. All the American Crown do.
Right, thank you, Mr. Field. You've been a great help.
I can go?
Yes.
That's your party piece with the gun over, then.
Oh, you sound quite pleased.
Well, you know me, sir. Let's stop playing games and start playing by the book, eh?
Well, at least Field made no bones about how he'd have done it, did he?
He could just be telling you that if he was going to fake a suicide, he wouldn't do it the way it was.
Possibly. Well, we'll talk to his lady friend. But it seems that he does have an alibi.
Yes. Very convenient, this, for Mr. Society. Everybody's sleeping with each other. Same alibi does for two people.
Then where did you spend the night?
Does it matter now?
It matters to me. If I'm going to tell lies to you, I'd like to know your version of the truth.
Maggie, love, I was scared of him digging up the old GBH a bit. I told him a silly lie about the gun. We could see why I'd want to know I was wandering about without an alibi when Farrow was killed.
And that's what you were doing, just wandering about all night. Come on, Henry. If you start telling me lies now, what chance do we have later?
I spent the night in Francis's cabin. But it's not like you think.
Oh, and how do I think?
I'll explain it all to you, Maggie, later.
It seems you've already got your alibi. Why involve me? Tell the police you spent the night with your ex-wife.
I reckon we could try for a rehearsal now, Henry.
Frances has already told the law that she took a pill and knows nothing. What else could I do?
But then you've told them another stupid lie, haven't you?
You've been very helpful, Mr. Tarrant.
I don't know if it means anything.
Well, it means no more than that, I'm quite sure. You saw Mr. Mathias, and you saw Farrow, and you heard a fight.
I didn't say that, Inspector. I said I heard what sounded
what
like...
What sounded like a groan or a grunt. Anyway, all that means is that both Mathias and Farrow were out and about at around 2 a.m.
I mean, I wouldn't want to make trouble for Bob or for anyone. I just wanted to help.
Which you have. And if you remember anything else...
I'll be sure to let you know. Oh, hi, Sergeant.
Yeah, Mr. Tarrant has just been volunteering some information. He's been very helpful.
Well, I guess it's not much.
Oh, every little helps, the actress said.
Thank you again, Mr. Tarrant.
Sure.
It seems that that pretty young lady from makeup has been lying. Matthias did not spend the whole night with her.
A whole lot of people have been lying, I shouldn't wonder. Your lovely leading lady, for a start. Report from forensic on the murder weapon. As you'd expect, Farrah's prints all over it, and Zorak's. As you wouldn't expect, also Miss Frances Parker's.
Good God. Can I see that? Okay. I want her brought back out here. I'm surprised, Fred. I'd have sworn it was a man.
You have any idea what this does to my movie, Inspector?
I think I do, Mr. Zeig.
Rosenthal's gonna go insane. Correction, he's a producer. He's already insane. But, geez, I cannot replace Francis. I guess the whole movie has got to be scrapped.
But you'd finished.
Hell no, just the location. She's weeks of studio ahead of her. Matt?
Hopeless. But you had finished with Farrow.
Oh, yeah. He only had the location work.
Well, I thought you still had some more shots on him.
Some. A couple of close-ups.
Yet you ordered the location to move on.
Oh, that's right. The stuff on Sam I could pick up anywhere just so long as Matt could match the general background. Right, Matt?
Right. Simple. No sweat.
Yeah, but it's not going to be possible to reshoot all Francis's footage. I got contractual commitments.
You're quite sure of your facts, Inspector?
Mm-hmm.
So now what?
Tidy up a few loose ends. And then the formal charges.
Well, she hasn't been charged yet.
Not yet.
Inspector, is there any chance that you could delay those charges without Francis?
That's a damn silly thing to ask, and you know it.
Okay. Well, I have to try any way I can to save my movie.
But not that way.
You'll be around tomorrow?
I expect so.
Will you be my guest around 7? We'll ride together before breakfast.
Oh, I really would enjoy that.
Great.
I'll join you at 7.
Well, Inspector,
marvelous.
See that ravine?
I see it.
Can you take it?
If the horse can, I can.
Don't worry about Scepter. Come on!
Your job to saddle the horses each morning.
I told you, I saddled them up around 6:30 and then I went up to check a couple of things with Matt.
But you didn't find him.
I did, later.
And what time was this?
When I went to look for Matt, I don't know. How long does it take to saddle a couple of horses? 15, 20 minutes?
And the saddles were fine when you put them on?
I told you.
Then you came back?
That's right. I needed to talk to Mr. Zorak.
So there was about, 10 minutes at most for somebody to cut through the girth. So, if you didn't do it, Mr. Field, somebody acted pretty quickly.
And I didn't do it. And don't forget, it was the governor's idea to swap horses.
Okay, Mr. Fields. That'll do for the moment.
It'd be a pretty stupid thing for him to do, sir.
It's a pretty stupid thing for anybody to do. What could they hope to gain?
You're working on the assumption that you were meant to have the accident.
Well, that seems obvious. The girths were cut on one horse only, and that was the one that I would presumably ride. But what on earth is the use of having me out of the way? The investigation continues. And we now know the killer is still around. Oh, let's go and see the invalid.
Somewhere way back, my people were Polish. It's a very hard head to dent.
All the same, you were pretty lucky, sir.
I guess it was.
How do you feel now?
Shook up, that's all, and a headache.
Do you have any idea as to who might have done this?
No. Everybody knows I ride every morning and any time during the day when it suits me.
So, no ideas?
Only one. You were meant to have the fall, not me.
Yes, I'd work that out for myself.
Do you have any ideas about that?
Some. None that make much sense. When will you be back at work?
As soon as I can. Tomorrow, maybe.
Well, I'll use the time to see a few more people. I may as well start with you, if you're up to it.
Well, I thought it was all over. I thought Francis killed Sam.
Yes, well, the present circumstances seem to have altered the situation a little.
Francis could be in the clear. Or maybe there were two of them, huh? Well, somebody sure as hell cut those girths.
Mr. Zorak, let's go back to the night Farrow was killed. What did you do after the dinner party?
Well, I went for a short walk with Matt. We talked over some of the problems regarding the next morning's shoot. I guess we may have spent something less than half an hour together. Then I went back to my tent.
Where did Mr. Matchelson go?
I have no idea.
And what did you do then?
Back here, went over the script, I worked, I don't know, I lost track of time.
Did you hear anything or see anything?
No, I can't say I did. I was pretty engrossed in my script.
Ah. Well, thank you. Well, I'm glad you're all right. It was a nasty fall.
Yeah.
Now you'd better rest. I'll see you later. Not much there, Fred.
No.
I think we see Matthias next. I feel he's got one or two things to answer to. How are things going with Frances Parker?
She's on her way.
Good. Her presence here might just be the catalyst we need. This horse business has got things jumping, so let's keep them jumping. You've lied. Your girlfriend's lied to us. You've lied to Mr. Zorak. Now I think it's time to tell us what did happen between you and Farrow the night he was killed, don't you?
Okay. Look, now I never made any secret of the fact that I hated that son of a bitch. But I didn't kill him. I went out looking for him that night, and I found him. He was drunk and spewing off his mouth about laying Fran and Pat. Anyway, I beat the hell out of him.
And that's when you hurt your hand?
Yeah.
What did you do then?
Nothing. I went back to my cabin. Pat and me spent the rest of the night together.
You saw nobody else?
No. Everything was pretty quiet. Kurt was working in his tent, that's all.
And that's the story you now want me to believe?
You better believe it, mister.
Yes, I better have. Otherwise, you're in a lot of trouble, aren't you?
Listen,
No, you listen. I've been told too many lies. You're lucky you were seen with Farrow, and the fight part of your story holds up. I'll believe that you spend the rest of the night with Miss Bain, because it suits me to do so at the moment.
It's the goddamn truth!
But if I find that any part of your story is not true, I'll have you arrested. And you can see how that sounds to your State Department, and anybody else who can directly or indirectly influence your career as an actor. Now get out. I'll have words with your lady friend later.
I'm sorry. Like I said, you can see how I was scared.
Very impressed with you, sir.
I think he was finally telling the truth.
I should hope so. Ah, yes, I reckon he's in the clear. Which means the makeup girl is too.
Ah, that'll be Miss Parker. Let's go and frighten the hell out of her as well.
Inspector, I insist that my lawyer's flown out here. You are making a terrible mistake.
I don't think so.
Oh. Yes.
Is it okay?
Oh, Matt.
Okay. Now take it easy.
Oh, what's happening, Matt? What are they doing to me?
Nobody's gonna do a damn thing, baby. Now just relax.
I just fixed myself a very large scotch. It helps. Will you have one? It's all I seem to have.
No, I never drink before 6 o'clock.
Oh.
But I guess it's around 6 o'clock in L.A.
Yep.
Fran, honey, you don't have to worry about a thing. It's all gonna work out.
But my fingerprints were on the gun. I'm going to be charged with Sam's murder.
I can't prove anything.
But I lied, Matt. Oh, I told such a silly lie.
Fran, I will find some way to help.
Oh, be with me when I talk to the inspector. I have to tell him the truth.
I'll tell him nothing.
But I have to. I mean, don't you see? Oh, just be with me.
Fran, if you change your story now, it's going to look that much worse for you. They'll twist everything and believe nothing. What have you told them so far?
That I took a pill and don't remember anything.
Perfect. Now I can corroborate.
But
I'll tell them I came to see you. When I left court, I dropped by to say goodbye, but I couldn't move you. You were out cold.
Oh, darling, Matt. Oh, did anybody ever have such a friend?
Fran.
Oh, no, don't say anything. I know. I do know. But you'd only add to the mess. You see, Henry spent the night with me.
I see.
Well, see, he came as a friend. There was no more to it than that.
Then you have your alibi.
Yeah, but Henry told them that he spent the night with Maggie. So, no more lies now. I'm scared.
Did you know the murderer tried to kill our policeman friend this morning?
What do you mean?
Just that. It misfired, though, and Kurt got hurt in
Kurt?
The bed. Yeah, okay, he's okay, but he's got a sore head. So, but do you see why you should stick with your story? They're confused now. They know they've got the wrong person. They're not going to charge you. And just play it cool.
No. No, if what you say is true, then all the more reason for straightening everything out now. Oh, just be with me, Matt. Hold my hand. You've been holding my hand for a long time now, haven't you?
Yep.
Remember my first movie?
Do I ever?
Oh, stay my friend, Matt. With me, it's safer that way. You know I didn't kill Sam, and that's all the help I need.
No, you didn't kill Sam. Because I know who did.
But I wasn't surprised when I heard he was dead. I was surprised to hear he committed suicide.
Why was that, Miss Jones?
I'd watched him. I watched them all from the outside. I think sometimes I see things about them that would surprise themselves.
And what did you see about Farrow?
A life force. Does that sound corny?
I don't know. Tell me.
Well, a lot of actors play around with living. Jimmy Church, for example.
Mm.
But Sam Farrow was so vibrant. If he wanted something, he'd grab it. He'd put the knife in if it was necessary. He and Mr. Zorak were two of a kind.
Everybody seemed to hate him.
Oh, yes. He was a threat. He'd take anything he wanted. You could see why he'd been a star. Energy bubbling out of him.
Life force. But he wasn't a star anymore.
But he didn't know that. In Sam's mind, he was always a star. He'd never have killed himself out of any sense of failure.
Well, we know that Farrow didn't kill himself. Tell me about Miss Parker.
The same kind of person. Taking life as she finds it, enjoying every second of it.
Did she kill Sam?
Oh, but I thought that...
I'm asking you.
But I don't know.
Your opinion?
She could have done. Well, what I mean is, she had the temperament. But I don't...
I should have talked to you a long time ago.
I suppose I've talked too much.
Not at all. And how about you?
Me?
Could you have killed Farrow?
No. I could not take a life. I didn't kill Sam.
And in any case, you spent the night with your fiancé.
No, I did not. I spent the night alone. I waited for Henry to join me, but he didn't come.
I see. Oh, dear.
I know what Henry's told you. I've thought it over, and I can't back up his story.
Sergeant, will you find Mr. Field and bring him here?
You'll find him just outside. He knew I was coming to see you.
Good.
What will happen to Henry? You know he has a record.
If he had any part in Farrow's death, then he'll go to prison. For lying to me, I shall probably ask my sergeant to punch him on the nose. I'm sick and tired of these silly
people.
Right
outside, sir.
Come in, Field. I've been talking to your fiancée.
I told him the
truth. Will you shut up? I've been told by Miss Jones that you did not spend the night with her. Do you want to tell me now where you did spend the night? And if you tell me one more lie, I will arrest you. My sergeant will provide a reason from his book. Miss Jones, I must ask you to keep quiet.
Please let me say one thing.
Oh.
Henry, Francis doesn't matter. Not to us. We can't afford to get involved in other people's lies.
Francis didn't kill Farrow.
So tell me. Stop being a bloody fool and tell me.
Inspector, what I told you before wasn't strictly true.
You surprise me, Miss Parker.
My marriage to Sam was a nightmare. As he went from success to success, so his drinking got worse. And then there were other women and people. Can you have any idea what it is like to have your husband tell you that...
take it easy, love.
That he would rather be in bed with a man than with you. It hurts. I wanted him to die. I just wanted him dead. But I didn't kill him, Inspector. I couldn't kill him then, and I didn't kill him the other night.
But somebody did. And at the moment, you look the likeliest bet.
Well, Sam came to my cabin. He was drunk and obscene, and I threatened him with the Derringer, but I didn't pull the trigger.
Was it loaded?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You can handle guns.
Well, I've never handled that one. I suppose it wasn't loaded.
Sergeant?
All the guns were loaded with one round of ammunition.
Part of Mr. Zorak's silly joke, I suppose.
Who will use the magic bullet?
What?
I remember Kurt asked us who we would use the bullet on.
Miss Parker, were you still at the table then?
I don't know. Yes. Yeah, I seem to remember something.
But then you did know the gun was loaded.
Well, it didn't register with me. It doesn't matter, Inspector, because I didn't use the gun. And Sam took it from me, and then he hurt me, and he slapped me, and then he left my cabin. He said something about finding a decent lay.
It's okay, Fran. It's okay, love. It's all over. It's all finished. I must have come along to Fran's cabin soon after that. She told me what
had happened. Why? Why did you go to her cabin?
Well, I wanted to check the arrangements for her departure.
Okay.
Anyway, she needed help. I did what I could. I poured her a drink, settled her back in bed. And finally, I left her to check on the others to see that they had their morning calls. As it happened, everybody seemed to have turned in. No sign of life anywhere except in the governor's tent.
Zorak?
Yeah.
Did you talk to him?
You're kidding? Nobody disturbs Mr. Zorak when he's working.
Then how did you know he was still up?
I could see him. His lamp was on. He was working at the table.
Does he usually work late at night?
Yeah.
So, then what?
I went back to Fran's cabin. She was asleep. I reckoned I ought to stay with her in case she woke again. I settled down in a chair, and at some time I must have dropped off. Now, that's the whole story, Maggie.
Yes.
I woke up in the morning, and, well, that's when we found Sam was dead, and the rest you know.
There's still the question of the fingerprints on the gun.
Yes, but don't you see, Inspector? Sam took my gun when he left. Well, he must have done. He was drunk, and I was too upset to know what was happening.
And when did you think of this?
After you told me that my fingerprints had been found on the gun. There was no other explanation.
And by that time, you told me the first big lie, and you were stuck with it.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, I'll bet you are. God, you lot make me angry. Well?
Me?
Yes, you, Miss Jones. What do you make of this? Do you believe it?
Well,
come on, girl. You blew the gap on them. Do you believe this story?
Yes, I do.
Ah. All right. Let's say I believe it. It's a pity you didn't speak to Zorak, Mr. Field. It could have helped your story. Sergeant, you've got the latest version?
Sir.
Right. Now get out and say nothing.
Maggie,
I think I'd like a coffee.
Do you believe them? Yes, I think I do. Damn it, I want to believe them. I need to narrow the field.
Leave the Jones woman without an alibi of any kind.
Yeah, but Maggie Jones volunteered this lot. If she'd shut up and backed up Field's story, they'd have both had an alibi that would have taken an awful lot of shaking. And she'd have left Francis Parker in an awful mess still. I mean, if her man had shown any inclination to wander back to his ex-wife...
You're sounding a bit woman's own.
Yes, damn it all, I know I do, Fred. I've lost my prime suspect and I am floundering. But I believe them.
Miss Park.
I didn't want to say anything in front of the others, Inspector. But I think you ought to talk to Matt. Mr. Matchelson.
Well, I intend to, but why particularly?
Because he knows who did kill Sam.
You know, Mr. Matchelson, those cigars really are powerful. Mind if I join you?
I'll have a rock, Inspector.
I have quite a few questions to ask.
I would figure. Been talking to Fran?
Mm-hmm.
So, where would you like to start?
At the beginning. You arrived at the dinner party when it was all over and went off for a stroll with Mr. Zorak.
Yep.
Then what?
We talked a while about the next day's shoot, and when Kurt left, I went down there to the beach and sort of took a look around.
And that would be when Mr. Church saw you.
Jimmy? What was he doing out here?
Same as you, he says. Couldn't sleep.
Him too.
never ceases to fascinate me how many folk in this business can't get to sleep.
There seemed to have been a lot around on the night Sam Farrow was killed.
Yep. I guess it must be the nervous tension they work under. Every time I start cranking my little old bell and howl, an actor's whole career is staked out for the ants.
I don't see you as the nervous type.
Ah, hell no. I ain't slept in years, but that ain't the reason. World War II, I was a newsreel cameraman. I shot some of the first film ever to come out of Belsen. Nights, I often just walk about working out the next day's camera angles. Looking for a good one. New one, maybe.
And that's what you were doing that night?
Yep.
Did you make any arrangement to meet Farrow that night?
No.
Did you see him at all that night?
You sure as hell have got the whole thing wrong, mister.
How wrong? You're placed at the scene of the crime and you have no alibi.
Now, hold on. Two things. Who said that I didn't have an alibi?
Do you?
No. But don't you go jumping to any conclusions, mister. Seems to me like you've jumped enough already.
And the second thing?
I thought you already had your killer. I thought you'd already jumped to a conclusion about Francis.
No, it seems a reasonable assumption. The fingerprints. Do you think differently?
That's why you're here. You've been talking to her.
Naturally. There were quite a few questions.
Yep, a whole heap of questions. And you don't have any of the answers, do you?
But you do. Miss Parker told me you knew who had killed Farron.
Yep, I figure I do.
Ah, you only figure. I thought perhaps...
Maybe I'd seen something. Maybe I knew something you don't. Well, maybe I do. I've been in this business one hell of a long time, and I've learned a hell of a lot about the people in it. Me, Kurt, and Sam all arrived in Hollywood around the same time. Just after the war, you didn't ask too many questions about people, because like as not, they were the same as you. Hustlers, con men, hard-nosed guys who'd seen a lot of action in Europe. Now they wanted some of the golden apples they'd been told grew on the trees in California. Some of us wound up making movies, and if anything got in our way, we moved it. Then Fran arrived out there from England and became part of our lives. She'll tell you that I got her through her first big movie. Ain't true, the director did it for her, but that's the way she tells it. And she got Kurt his big break, and Kurt helped Sam. Since that time, we've all stayed pretty close. Loyal.
Loyal enough to cut the girths on the saddle to try and protect Miss Parker? You were there when the ride was suggested?
Yep. I cut the girths.
I know what you were trying to do.
It was a pretty dumb move.
It just never made any sense.
The wind coming up. This weather doesn't break.
You haven't told me who did kill Sam.
Yes, I have.
You?
Me? Could be. I'll tell you one last thing. Did you ever see a movie I made with Kurt called White Rhino?
Yes, I did.
You remember the scene in that with the dummy?
Okay, settle down.
I'm sorry to have brought you all together in this manner. It may seem a little
melodramatic.
Trent's last case.
Mr. Church?
Well, it's the full classic scene, love, isn't it?
If any of this strikes you as being funny, let me point out that this classic scene, as you call it, need not have happened if you'd not all lied to me. Now, I've called you all here because I believe that you finally told me the truth. And the truth seems to have given most of you alibis. So, I shall summarize what I now know. And if any of you recognize a lie, or have omitted to give me the full story, then now is the time to tell me.
You're asking us to inform?
I'm asking you to help the police with their inquiries. You've already done so in private. Why the scruples about doing it in public?
We might frighten Kurt's horses.
Okay, Jimmy. Very funny.
Right, Miss Parker. You lied from fear. And in this, you were abetted by Mr. Field, who also had reasons for trying to conceal the truth. But you now give each other the alibis you need. Mr. Matthias, You were seen by Mr. Tarrant with Farrow. And if we can place you both close to the living area, then you were nowhere near the spot where Farrow was finally killed. Miss Bain can give you an alibi for the rest of the night.
Now, I could have expressed that with more tact.
Yes, well, I'm sorry, but I think I made my point. Mr. Matthewson, your actions can be regarded as criminal.
Now, hold on, Inspector. I'm happy to take what's coming to me there, but I'd appreciate it if we didn't have to talk about it now.
You cut the girths on that horse so that I would have some injury, serious or otherwise. You did that to make me think that Miss Parker was not Farrow's murderer, and that he or she was still at large.
I told you, Fran, you have a cameraman who loves you.
Keep your mouth tight shut, Court.
If this action does nothing else, it shows that Mr. Matthewson thought Miss Parker was guilty. Therefore, he couldn't have been.
Dearest Matt.
Mr. Tarrant witnessed the fight between Mr. Matthias and Farrow. And shortly after that, saw Mr. Church return to his cabin. At that time, Farrow may well have been a little bloody, but he was still alive, as he hadn't had time to reach the place where he finally died. So Mr. Church is vouched for. And he, in turn, has accounted for Mr. Tarrant.
A jeep.
I beg your pardon.
Or somebody could have used a jeep. That would throw all your timings out.
No, I don't think so. There were a lot of people still awake at that time, and somebody would have heard a vehicle. But you were still awake yourself.
Yeah.
And you heard nothing? Have I missed out any important facts? Has anybody noticed anything that might not be strictly true?
Inspector, may I ask where all this leaves me?
It leaves you without an alibi, Miss Jones. Well, if nobody has anything more to say, obviously my investigations are not finished, but for the time being, you may all go. Thank you, Mrs. Oliver.
That's okay, Inspector. Come on, then, let's go. We've got to move it.
Well, sir, gentlemen, are we around later with a call this morning, all right?
All a bit messy, isn't it, sir?
Hmm?
You've reached the answer by a negative road rather than a positive one.
Yes. Except for the report you got from the gunsmith.
That's not proof. You've got to do better than that.
Oh, I will, Fred. You know that. He knows that.
Well, may as well get on with it, I suppose.
I'll go and see him myself.
Sure.
Yeah. But my chance of stardom.
May I come in?
Yeah, I've been expecting you. My turn for the questions.
A few. I want to know, for instance, why your fingerprints were on the gun that killed Farrow.
That's easy.
I want to know how you could sit in your tent while a fight went on close by and not hear anything. I want to know why there are powder burns on your clothes.
Powder burns?
Oh, there will be. We are now going to go through you with the finest of fine-tooth combs.
You seem to have made up your mind.
You know I have.
You'll get nowhere with the fingerprints on the gun.
I think we will.
Naturally, my prints were on all the guns.
Ah, that's the assumption that we made. When we talked to Lessiters, the gunsmiths, we discovered that the last thing they would do before placing the guns in the presentation boxes would be to polish them thoroughly. There would be no prints on the guns when they left the shop.
So I handled Farrow's gun, maybe to admire the workmanship.
No, it was Miss Parker's gun that killed Farrow, remember?
Who knows which gun I handled?
Church's is still clear of prints. He never took it out of its box. The others are too, except for their own.
At the time Sam was killed...
What time was that?
I was sitting here in my tent going over the script when all the action was taking place. Hal saw me. So did Bob.
I suddenly remembered the key scene in your film, White Rhino. If I were to take one of those dummies, the ones that you use as dead bodies, and if I were to seat it at the table, then place this lamp, say, here, where it would reflect against the tent walls, I wonder what that would look like at night to a casual observer. And everybody on this unit knows that Mr. Zorak is never to be disturbed when he's working.
Like I said, I was expecting you. This is not a toy derringer, Inspector. This one will cut you in half at 10 feet.
It must have been a lot harder with the derringer.
No, Sam was drunk and hurt. I just walked with him, talked to him a little. I took his gun from him. Hell, it was easy. I was his friend. Did you ever see Of Mice and Men? That was a beautiful movie.
Are you going to tell me why?
How do you tell a guy he's finished? Booze, a filthy tongue. Nobody would use Sam, just me. Years ago, 40 years and more, goddammit, bright-eyed in Hollywood and all of us hungry, I did one movie that was good, but it bombed at the box office. Then Fran arrived. Just a kid, she didn't give a damn. She was from a theater and she was class. The director dropped out and she insisted on me to replace him. They could have got nasty, but she held out. Anyway, I got the movie, and suddenly it's me who's big. And the first dumb thing I do is go to bed with Sam Farrell because he needs a part. I was really in love with him, you know. And that son of a bitch would screw anything. Well, you know the rest. Sam made it big, then loused it all up, and then he began to put the bite on me for parts.
He was blackmailing you.
But I couldn't do anything for him. He wanted star parts again. These days it's the men with the money cast the stars, and Farrow wouldn't bring in 10 cents at the box office. I was helpless. So, that night he came to see me again late on. First he started spewing his mouth off about Fran, then about a contract on my next movie. I fixed to meet him down on the beach. I rigged up the dummy so people... I don't think I was going to kill him then. But when he turned up, he'd met Bob Mathias on the way. Now he was really ugly. He started telling me how I was to cut the movie. How I was to leave Bob's best stuff on the cutting room floor so that he'd look good. Nobody, nobody tells me how to edit my movies. Not even Rosenthal does that.
And for that you killed him?
Sometimes it ain't always possible to do it the way it says in the script.
It just makes sense. A homosexual affair
would destroy me! I make movies that bring him in on my name. Kurt Zarek is a bigger star than any punk actor. Everybody knows what my films stand for. God damn it, I've been laughed out of the business. For the rest of the fairies, it's okay, but I have been so damn discreet. Farrow would have destroyed it all. Hollywood would have crucified me.
Zarek,
stay where you are. Don't make any mistake, Inspector. I can handle guns. Guns are very masculine. I will surely blast a hole in you.
Governor! Zarek, sir!
Oh, Scepter. Steady boy now. Up there! Come on!
Sergeant!
Zarek, Scarlet. I want that chopper in the air in 1 minute flat.
He can't go anywhere.
I want him found!
Come on, Scepter. Come on.
God, he can ride. So what do we do, sir? Sit around up here until the horse drops dead under him? Or he shoots us down?
Can you bring this thing down ahead of him? Try and force him to halt.
The horse can maneuver better than I can, sir.
Well, can you try and circle him? You see what I mean?
I'll either crash the machine or chop him to pieces.
Then we sit him out. He won't harm that horse.
Sir!
What is it?
He looks to be heading straight for the headland.
Oh, my God. Oh, my good God.
What do I do, sir?
Put me down first. Well away from the horse. Poor beast is terrified enough.
What about Zorak?
I'm afraid that's your job, Fred.
I thought it might be.
Those rocks look pretty nasty. There won't be a lot of him left.
Front office has offered the film to some Hollywood hack. You won't get a credit. That way it stays a Kurt Zorak movie.
And millions of pounds of publicity doesn't get wasted.
It's about the strength of it. I'll send you a ticket for the premiere. Both of you.
Oh, I'd love that.
Not me, thanks. I'll wait till it comes on the telly.
Oh, he's a disillusioned man, my sergeant. Well, goodbye, Mr. Field. I wish you every success in everything.
Yeah.
Would you excuse me a moment? I just want a word. Mr. Matthewson? I thought you might like to know. Mr. Zorak never knew how I tweaked the business with the dummy.
If you're talking about the old loyalties, Inspector, I had to ask myself whether he would have let Fran go down for Sam's murder. I think he would have done.
Miss Parker, I've been invited to the premiere.
I don't think I shall be attending.
Oh, Of course I understand.
But if the producer insists... In this business, the final loyalty is to...
The public?
The box office, Mr. Ronald Coleman.
Someone's been telling tales. Yes, of course. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Goodbye.
Inspector.
Bye-bye. Right, Sergeant.
Hey.
That's a wrap, I think. On our way.
The part of Kurt Zorak was played by Peter Vaughan, Inspector Coleman by Stephen Thorne, and Sergeant Astor, Joe Dunlop. Francis Parker, Mary Miller, Matt Matchelson, David King, Robert Mathias, Nigel Carrington, Jack Tarrant, Vincent Brimble, James Church, Jonathan Oliver, and Sam Farrow, James Green. Henry Field, Michael McStay, Maggie, Jane Wittenshaw, Pat Bain, Sue Broomfield, Peter Dobbs, Ben Onwukwe, Jimmy James, Stephen Garlick, and the pilot, Nicholas Gilbrook. Technical presentation was by Richard Beedsmore, Keith Graham, and Ian Pratt. Death Beach was written by Michael McStay and directed by Jane Morgan.
Thank you again for listening, and please don't forget to follow, review, and rate.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.